wow, we're in hot. I didn't see the countdown.
You didn't see it, did you?
Can I tell you what I was about to tell you? Because I think you'll enjoy it. Sometimes when I'm on my own, I just think about, me and Zach were in a podcast together doing an interview and people are like asking us questions. I think about things I could say that would wind you up. Do you do that in your life?
Like what?
Like somebody saying like, oh, how long have you guys known each other? And then I was thinking the other day of saying something like, we've known each other since we're about 15, but in 2014 we went to Brighton together and that was the trip that really made us friends. And I know even the reaction there. I know at this point we're even, do you know what I was thinking about the other day? So me and Zach, we had a day out and we said, right, let's go somewhere that's not London. And the two places on the table were Brighton, great night out, and Margate.
Really?
Why was Margate even on the table? No offense to anyone from Margate.
Well, I suppose it's like a throwback kind of place, isn't it? It's really not dissimilar to Blackpool.
I think that's what we're looking
which
for.
Where I grew up.
So did I. It's a funny part of Essex, Blackpool, but that's where I grew up.
Okay. Topic of conversation today is something that salespeople, I think, struggle with, but I think they have the best intention in putting it in place. And some people call it reverse questioning. I think it could be known as a Socratic technique as well. I'm trying to think what the other thing is that it's called. Reverse questions, the one that I know it as. There is another thing that it's called as well, but I can't remember. Do you know what reverse question is when I say that?
I've got a few ideas. What would reverse questioning look like for you?
Well, what ideas are you starting with?
Probably a few different trains of thought when it comes to like reverse questioning. I guess when you're reverse questioning in a situation, what do you, how does it typically sound?
Probably easier to focus on one of those trains of thought that you've got. I mean, does one jump out more than the other?
So if I said that the main one would be you're having a conversation with somebody, you're talking about a certain subject, but actually it's like a hot potato. I don't want to hold on to it for too long. Do you ever find in awkward situations you using it as maybe a get out of jail free card?
When you say awkward sessions, what do you mean?
I actually said awkward situations, but maybe maybe there's a lag. Well, there's a few different awkward situations. You know, in fact, you'll know this better. Have you ever been to a networking event before?
Networking event is interesting because I think that word has got quite conflated, networking. When you say networking event, what do you mean by that?
Well, maybe not even an event that is specifically for networking, but there's always like an element of networking attached to it. But you strike me as the kind of person that probably wouldn't enjoy going to those kind of things.
If I said I was confused by the premise now, do you think that'd be unfair?
No, I think I probably lacked a lot of clarity. Is that something you think I do often?
Lack clarity.
Yeah. Okay, let's pause there. That's fun. Talk me through what's just been happening, because some people will be listening to that and think that was the rambles of two madmen for 2 minutes.
Okay, so if you were listening, you probably picked up on me and Jack were purposefully not answering each other's question, right? Which is a technique called reverse questioning, which is basically an antidote to the salesman's curse of running in and answering a question and often kind of oversharing and perhaps answering just the total wrong question. You know, what's the pricing structure? Before you know it, you've given the pricing structure, the discount, and your first son's middle name. You know, like these are things salespeople really overshare. So reverse questioning is just a means of, before you answer something, just getting the kind of why behind the question. Why am I being asked it? You probably shouldn't run in to answer big, open-ended questions without first knowing why you've been asked them. Is that a fair place to start, Jack Frimston?
Depends what you'd class as fair, to be honest. There was the technique that you used at the back end was, I can't remember what you said, but it was a mirror. And I always think that when questions are being thrown at you, it's so nice to... It can't be the same move every single time. So if you're asking me a question, I go, great question. It feels there's a reason why you've asked me that. Great question. It feels like it's all about sounding human in those situations. So yeah, oh, right, okay, yeah, that's a good point. I guess when when you're thinking about that, and I play this character and probably falls into the idiot category, but when I'm really like thinking about what I'm saying, even if I know where I'm going with the conversation or what I'm going to say, I always think about it, and I kind of play this character that might be a bit more stumbly over his words or hesitant to answer, just so you've got that time before you go in.
You know, I used to work for a very short period of time at a recruitment business, right? That was my first job out of uni. It didn't last very long because it wasn't for me. But I asked, who's the best guy here? And this guy on my team said, I've actually forgotten his name. It was a guy sat at the back who actually, in a quite an alpha, loud office, he was the one who, he didn't really get that involved, didn't really say much. And I said, well, what makes him the best? Thinking like, it's going to be some sort of mad skill or something. And he said to me, he hides the salesperson. I was like, oh, what does that mean? So you're like watching him go around. And that thing that we were doing then, if it was on a sales call, would probably start to show the salesperson. Because like you were saying, you start to play the same move. Okay, that's an interesting question. Oh, that's funny that you've asked me that. What makes you ask me that? Like you have this kind of customer service show me thing that happens where people can detect it and go, oh, I can see the salesperson in that. And I think for reverse question, for putting the question back on the person who asked it, the number one thing that you'll spot if you're doing it wrong is it comes across as avoidant, and the prospect probably starts to double down and go, no, I just want an answer. Just answer the question. That's how you know you're getting it wrong. So you've dealt with this quite recently in your team, this kind of like avoidant thing when you're delivering it. What are the antidotes that you've seen that really work to delivering it properly?
I'm a big fan of something I've labeled the U-turn. You know the U-turn?
Don't think I do.
Okay. So I think that so many people are going to ask questions, and the avoidant bit is where you go, yeah, great question. Or you go, before I answer that, let me ask you something like that. That is like a typical, I've seen you ask me a question. Actually, I don't give a shit. I'm throwing it at a wall. It's that meme with the plate. Here's the plate. And you go, fuck
yeah,
it, I'm throwing it at a wall. That classic meme. So I think the U-turn is, as a human being, we go to answer it. So anything you ask me, I go to answer it. But I actually catch myself in my tracks. So I've got to be like, oh, fucking hell, I'm about to do something wrong here. Let me just go back a bit. So you could ask me. Yeah, I was going to say, you could ask me the pricing question. How do you price it?
What are the commercials and how much does it cost?
Good question. So when it comes to pricing, there's three different packages. So we've the start. Well, I guess before I jump into it, I probably want to know, like, rather than boring you to death for 5 minutes, I can just maybe like tell you what would be more focused for you. When you're looking at lead generation, typically how many people are you trying to get in front of on a monthly basis? That might not be my necessarily
next
question, but
I don't like a lot of stuff that you say, but I want it to be really clear on why that works so well. Because we talked about avoidance being the issue, right? What Jack just did then is he let me believe the answer was on the other side of my question. I was just about to answer it, but I just need this bit first and then I can answer it. It wasn't like was that your question? There's the plate being thrown across the room. Beautiful stuff, mate. Really enjoyed that.
Thanks, mate. I think I might have learned that from you, actually, and I've just given it a name and people like stuff like that.
What about, let's try and think of like the big, broad, open question that could be a trap that's not pricing. What could another example of that be? I'm trying to think of one.
And are we thinking a cold call? Are we thinking in a discovery call?
Yeah, cold call, discovery. Like what could come up?
How much, what do you know about me already?
All right. So this is a good one. And I'm going to give people this is one that people, particularly from like the Sandler school of thought, can sometimes get wrong. Right. What do you know about me already? This is your classic chance to be avoidant, but we have the ability in front of us to use the internet. Right. So if I'm dealing with, Jack, give me the question.
What do you know about our company already?
Right, and let's imagine I've got the tab open there. I suppose outside of you being a ERP system for the construction space, probably not much more than that, because the questions I'd have for you are, when it says construction space, is that massive tier one contractors? Is that more focused on like a boutique part of the industry? Where would you put yourself?
Good. Can I tell you something? We were talking about it in my office this morning. You might actually not like it because it was top of the dome stuff. It was something that I haven't used before, but I hear this question coming up a lot recently, and it's like, how much do you know? And I think when we were back on the phones full time, I don't think that was something I was running into. So I think it might be a symptom of something else, or maybe people are just fatigued with sellers, whatever. So, and this is a bit of like a permission. This is what I said. You could go a bit left field with it. The way you could do it is say, I'll tell you what I know, but just before I do that, can I just preface it? The last call I was on, I went in with all the information that I'd found from the website, and the guy bollocked me and told me I was completely wrong, even though that was the information on the website. So I can run in and tell you, or actually it might just be beneficial for you when it comes to who you're trying to get in front of and what problem you're trying to solve. What does that look like?
Yeah, good. So there's a few tools there. So Jack's there is probably for like, if you're a bit more of an extrovert and you're comfortable delivering it like that, use that. I would say an alternative might be answer it a bit. I know you're this and you focus on this, but I probably don't know how X problem affects you that I solve. Always get it back to there. The never, as in the never do, is never answering short, punchy, you know, I know you're a software system. Right? Like, don't do it like that. Go, I know you're a software system that does this, that helps with this. What I probably don't know is how the problem I solve affects that. That's obviously something that I couldn't find on the website or through looking at LinkedIn or Glassdoor or whatever. And this will be maybe like counter to some of the stuff that you hear out there. Just I'm thinking if someone rang me with the advice that's commonly out there, and I probably wouldn't say it, but if I did, like, do you know some stuff about us? Have you done your research? Blah, blah, blah. If they went, well, to be honest, you're the expert. So as much as I know about your website, not much, it wouldn't make me feel good. But if they dealt with my slightly irrational question of, am I an expert with, I know this and this, but I probably need to understand this from you. It would just ease that monkey mind of mine. The key thing, and people might think this is some sort of like manipulation, is I don't really want the other side to feel like I'm avoiding their question or playing a game or being a salesperson at all. To take that recruitment example I use in that business that I work with, I want the salesman to be hidden.
I love that. There's a t-shirt design in there, isn't there? Hidden salesperson, crouching commission check. Something. We'll work on it.
What's the task this week, Jack?
I was just about to ask, when you say task, what do you think the task should be?
All right. I'm going to give people the task at home, and I'm not going to play
it. It involves Marco Alfonso Rogers.
All right. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to review the podcast and put a comment on wherever you listen to podcasts. You're going to screenshot that you've done that in a group chat to Jack Frimston, me, and Owen Richards from Air Marketing.
Someone in my office said, why are they your competitors? I said, have they been nasty to you? No, they've been nothing but
that's
helpful,
been so
actually.
Nice. Yeah. If you do that, then myself, Owen, and Jack will offer you and your team free training.
Wow, that's very generous with your time. Yeah. You know what keeps making me laugh? We were doing a podcast the other day and I keep thinking about it and crying, and there was a guy that was struggling with the green screen on his back, and you changed my name on
it's on a green screen.
Yeah, really tickled me. Anyway, thank you for listening. Take care.
Cheers.